It's that time of the year that we put things behind us. One of the things I would encourage you to put behind you, if you've got any bitterness, put it behind you. If you've got any unforgiveness, put it behind you. Don't carry that garbage into the new year. Put it behind you. A time to remember is always good. It's a time to reflect. And of course, we know from all the television adverts, they onto one thing only now, the primary thing in the new year. It starts with an L. You've got to get rid of something. Lose weight. That's the primary drive at the end of the year for the new year. Set the goals. Get your priorities. Lose weight. How do you lose weight? And all the guys are advertising the gym. Let me help you. Don't go to the gym. Just volunteer at Crossway. It's for nothing. And it's cheap, right? And you have fellowship. You just put your earphones on and you do your work. Solomon, the wisest man known to man, said there's a time for everything. And how true is that? In Ecclesiastes 3 verse 1, there is a right time for everything, but at all times, he doesn't say that, but at all times, serve God, worship God. And he goes through the whole list, a time to be born, a time to die, etc., etc. And he wraps it. And once you finish that, you're depressed. So we know it is a time for everything. And today is a time to say goodbye. Say goodbye to 2025. Now, we always say, I hope 2026 is going to be better. Well, in which way? In what way is it going to be better? Just think about that. Is there still going to be hatred in 2026? Yeah. Are there still going to be wars in 2026? Yeah. Are there going to be family squabbles in 2026? Yeah. Yeah, so in what way? Well, I hope I can get a little bit more money. Well, once the tariffs kick in, they say there's going to be more money. But what are we actually hoping for in 2026? And so every single year we go through the same regurgitation of, I hope it's going to be better in 2026. Well, I've had so many troubles in 2025. Well, you're going to get some more troubles in 2026. They just come in different formats. For one, you're going to get married. That's double trouble. No. So what do we find? We're putting our hopes on something that fluctuates. But rather, let's say, I've got a goal again in 2026 is to present my entire body to Christ and serve him with everything that I've got. Because the Bible does say, in this world you're going to have much trouble, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. So trouble is inevitable. Trials are inevitable. I mean, we left South Africa and we never gave a forwarding address and trouble found us. We are instructed dozens of times in the Word of God to remember certain things. As a child of God this morning, we've got to remember certain things. Because unfortunately, we take so much for granted. And we're going to remember certain things. And we're going to go through a number of things. The Israelites were admonished to keep their remembrance various days and the events of their national history. In Exodus 13 verse 3 it says, so Moses said to the people, it's a big deal this. So Moses said to the people, this is the day to remember for how long? Why? Why? It was a big deal. This was a big deal. They were slaves. And God used Moses to get them out of slavery to the promised land. And he says, this is a day to remember forever. The day you left Egypt. The place of your slavery. Let's pause for a moment. Can't you remember the day when you left your slavery? How often don't we forget when we gave our lives to Jesus Christ? As if it was just another occurrence. It wasn't. It was the greatest day of your life. The greatest day of my life. When I was taken out of slavery, the pit of sin. When he took me out of death and he gave me life. Shouldn't I remember this day? You bet. And I will never lose the enthusiasm about that day. Man, I will, you know, I hear people tell me, you're just too passionate. That's fine. But I was dead. You don't know what it's like to be dead. Well, you do and I do. We were dead. So I find it's important for us to remember the day God did something spectacular in our lives. The miracle above all miracles took us out of death, gave us life. Took us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Has given us a tremendous inheritance. What was your inheritance before Christ? Hell. Hell. What's my inheritance now? Whatever is his is mine. That's what he says. The place of your slavery. Today, the Lord has brought you out by the power of his mighty hand. Geez, Kevin, you're doing quite well at the back over there. Remember, eat no food containing yeast. Thank goodness I don't have to apply this to my life. But there's other things I've got to apply to my life now that I've been taken out of slavery. So let me list a few things that are worthy of our remembrance. Remember your salvation. Remember where you've come from. If you look at yourself now, compare in your spiritual life a few years ago, where were you? Where are you? If you don't see much of a difference, you got a problem. Because then the word of God is not being applied to your life. Because when the word of God is applied to your life, inevitably it brings change. Because it's not a dead word. It's called the what? The living word. And the sad thing is many times we may not see the change, but others recognize the change that is happening in us. So do that evaluation, the self-examination, self-evaluation, and say, man, look where I've come from. I love what the Ephesians, the Contemporary English Bible says in Ephesians 2 verse 1. Have I got it over there? Let's read this together. Come on. In the past. Why? Do you remember that? In the past you were dead. You stinketh. In the past you were dead. Gives the reason for why you were dead. Why were you dead? Because you sinned against and fought against God. And that's why the Bible says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And the result of that is death. Death. Sin is death. And he says, that's where you and I were. We were in sin, born into sin. We were dead, separated from God. And that's why Christ came, to give man an opportunity to be reconciled to God. So we must remember our salvation. Remember where we've come from. Remember this great impact Christ had on our lives. And I don't know if this is part of our mindset. I don't know. I don't think so. Once we become born again, we get into a church and we become part of the church fellowship. And we forget about the precious moment that you accepted Jesus Christ. I can never forget it. I can't give you the exact day, but I know where I was. I know the transformation that took place. I know the results after that. I know how I drove a lot of people crazy. I recall that I told you once or twice before, and it's worthwhile telling you again. There was such enthusiasm when I received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. The passion was to tell the whole world, although I was in a little city. I was telling the whole world about this. I wanted it at a young age. On the bicycle. Riding up and down the streets. Repent or go to hell. Repent. How many did I lead to Christ then? Not one. But I had the passion. I had the passion. Repent or go to hell. Repent or go to hell. 14-year-old boy. They thought I was nuts. Well, they weren't far from wrong. The nut has just grown. But I find that the passion's there to present the gospel to people. Let us remember our vows, our commitments. And we're going to go through a number of them systematically. Ecclesiastes 5, verse 4 and 5. So when you talk, important principle involved over here, please, because most folks that I know and myself at times have failed, and I've corrected so much of this. So when you talk to God and vow to Him, just think of that for a moment. When you talk to God and vow to Him, now let me, don't answer it. How many of you in a time of trouble have made a vow to God? Just don't answer it. How many of us in trouble have made a vow to God if He takes us out of that trouble? And you know what happens? We get taken out of the trouble, but we fail to live up to the vow. I'll give you one example that's fresh, although it happened way back 30 years. Never forget praying for a couple. They needed a bigger vehicle because the family was growing. And they said, God, we don't have the money, but we promise you, if you give us a bigger vehicle, we promise to not only bring our family to church, but we will bring other families to church. Guess what happened? They got the vehicle. But how many families came to church? Not one. That's human nature. We make the vow, but we don't carry it through. So when you talk to God and vow to Him that you will do something, don't delay in doing it. Why not? Because that's called also procrastination. And God hates procrastination. Many, many years ago, I did a sermon on that, a series. It's time maybe to refresh our minds. Don't delay in doing it. If you are procrastinating in any way, cut it out. Get rid of it. God hates procrastination. For God has no pleasure in fools. Now, that's an interesting thing. Yeah, you find the word fools. But the word fool is used in connection with another individual. A person that doesn't believe in God. A guy that says there is no God. The Bible calls that person a fool. So you are then placed on the same level as a fool. So when you talk to God and vow to Him that you will do something, don't delay in doing it. For God has no pleasure in fools. Keep your promise to Him. How easy is that? It's a challenge. Our vows to God. We've made vows to God over the years. I have made vows. You've made vows to God. And this morning I want us to let it take us through the whole afternoon, the whole evening, tomorrow, no matter what, the rest of our lives. One of the vows we've made to God when we experience Jesus in our lives is, Lord, I love you. and I want to serve you. And that vow I have seen over the years in individuals starts very strong and then wanes to the point that the vow is broken. And then years down the road, they want to renew the vow. People are quick to renew their wedding vows. You better be quick to renew your vows you've made to God as well. So to love him, to serve him. Here's one that I think we all need to consider. No. Don't. Every single one of us has got to put it into action. When God, and I'm going to tell you why. Because in that verse 5, it says it's better not to say you'll do something than to say you will and then not do it. Pertaining to the vow. So if I've made the vow, I want to carry this vow through. Because he says it's far better not to make the vow and don't do anything about it. Make it and keep it alive. To read his word. I'm once again alarmed at the amount of folks that are not reading and applying the word to their lives. I want to encourage you again as we say goodbye to 2025. Help one another. Please help one another to read the word and not only to read it, but to understand it and to apply it. I mean, I've heard people brag, I've gone through the Bible 10 times. Yeah, so what? That made you a helicopter pilot or what? I've gone through the word 7 times, 10 times. Yeah, what? I just don't see the impact of the word in your life, my mate. So you can brag about the amount of times you've read the word, but if the word is not applied to your life, you're just wasting your energy, man. So I want to encourage you. Come on, let's help one another to read the word systematically, understand the word, apply the word to our lives. Hold each other to account. What about prayer? I know my prayer on a daily basis. But isn't it amazing that we will only pray when we are in trouble? God help me. I've lost my job. God help me. I can't pay my rent. God help me. My car's broken. God help me. I need a dishwasher. God help me. God help me. God help me. But why don't we communicate with God? Through prayer. What about to witness more often? What about to live our life for him? What about to answer his call in your life? God has been prompting you in the inside to do something. You're procrastinating. Why? And one thing that we love to do at Crossway is take people out of their comfort zone. I've never done this before. Well, there's a first time. Let's do it. No, I don't think I can do it. Shut up. Let's do it. We always want excuses. Remember your brothers and sisters. Intercessory prayer. Praying for people. Let's go to 1 Samuel 12:23. Neither will I walk off and leave you. That would be a sin against God. I'm staying right here at my post praying for you. The intercessory prayer. I'm praying for you and teaching you the good and right way to live. Notice that though. This is something that ties in very much with go make disciples. There's a word here or a phrase that you link in to Matthew 28. Go, come on, help me. Go make disciples and do what? Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Then what? Teach. Teach. Yeah, we find the same thing though. Notice, I'm staying right here at my post praying for you, teaching you the right, the good, and the right way to live. So there's the question. Do we have a responsibility towards each other? Yeah. Sharing the gospel. Expanding the word of God. Explaining the word of God. Helping one another to correct the mistakes. We're going to get to something now that's very challenging. In 2 Timothy 1:3, I thank God whom I serve that, notice, there's a lineage. There's a pattern. I look at my life and I look at my mother. As stubborn as a mule, this woman was. And I'm cut from the same cloth. But there was nothing impossible for her. I'll share a few things maybe that can inspire you a little bit. At a younger age, I was very active. I was a daredevil. And you tell me you can't do it, I will not accept that, because my mother told me, never say I can't. It's not, son, it's not in our vocabulary. I can't. You want to annoy her? Tell her I can't. Her faith was tremendous. In the sense, I've got marks all over my body. Now that I'm older, very old actually, many of the stuff has disappeared. Thank God for that. I don't have to use all kind of, what's that stuff they put on to take the marks away? Well, the ladies use blush or whatever that is, so you don't flush. I don't know. So in any case, I got marks over here. I got marks over here where blood was spouting out, where I hit my head. I got stuff over here where you could see my bones. Go to my mother. She never, in my presence, prayed with an audible voice. She just whispered. This thing where I see a huge scar over here, cut right open inside to the bone. Come to her, she puts her fingers on either side, pinch, ah! Well, you know, yeah, it's not a good word to use, but in South Africa it's a common, shut up. Yeah, but, shut up. She'll pray like this. Mouth moving. Get a plaster, put a plaster on. Over the years, then she taught me to put pepper, black pepper. So you all saying, ah, you don't know what you're talking about. It's the greatest medicine you can use. Try it next time. You won't even know you got pepper in there. When you're bleeding, take black pepper. Have always a can of black pepper in it. Throw pepper so it stops the bleeding. It's a disinfectant. You don't feel it. And it heals the scar quicker than you could ever. By the way, that's free. I never ask you for any money for this. Black pepper. Put a plaster on over there. Days healed. This one, the flesh was hanging out of it. I ripped this whole arm over. Same thing. Just the lips moving. Nothing coming out. Get a plaster and bandage. That's how my mother spoke. Get a plaster and bandage. There was no civility in my house. Never had stitches. Never had stitches. Never. I'll tell you one more because I don't want to bore you. We are much older now. I'm married now. And that time I had a Mercedes Benz parked on my driveway like this. I had to go to a business meeting. And I got to the Mercedes-Benz, click, 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 couldn't get it going. There was drama there, and my mother was visiting. She's now, I think, 70-something, 80 maybe. And because I had blocks in front, I had to try and move the Mercedes-Benz away just to get the blocks out to try and just get it further into a level so I could get the jumpers to it there. So we've got my maid, the other one that's working in the garden with me, Heather, and we're trying to just push the Mercedes because it's uphill like this. We couldn't move it much. My mother was a shortish, stocky lady like this, like a Michelin lady, you know. She comes and, what's going on here? I said, we got to move the car. Well, that's fine. Let's push the car. I said, mother, go into the house. No, you're going to get to a business meeting. She comes and she pushes the car. I've got the brakes on and she says, can you please all hurry up? I can't keep this car by myself. I said, mother, you're not doing anything. She thinks she's holding this massive car so that we can move the blocks. But that was her faith. That was her mindset. So I thank God, whom I serve as my forefathers did. My mother laid that foundation in my life. My niece dies. No problem. My mother takes it to gets her into a car. She was a midwife in the Second World War. Takes her to the church. There's a prayer meeting, a ladies' prayer meeting. Takes her to the church. They say the kid's dead. She's blue in the face, etc., etc. And she was. Takes the kid, disrupts the whole ladies' service at the church. We got to pray for this girl. Pray for her. 5 minutes later, the girl comes back. To this day, married, got children, no brain damage, nothing. So that's the forefathers. That's what I got raised in. Don't tell me things are not possible. Don't tell me God can't. With a clear conscience, notice this, I thank God whom I serve. As my forefathers did, a pattern. With a clear conscience, as night and day, I constantly remember you in my prayers. He's carrying it forward now. He's doing what he had seen being done. So we are to remember our brothers and sisters and intercede and pray, but also remember where we've come from. And then, of course, remember the old path. You know, they sing that song often, not the younger generation, the older. You remember in our days, the good old days. Well, the good old days actually weren't so good. But there are certain things in the good old path you got to remember. In Jeremiah 6:16, this is what the Lord says. Stand at the crossroads and look. What must I look at? Ask which paths are the old. This is so applicable today. So applicable. I'll tell you why it's applicable. There's a lot of new paths. A lot of new paths under the banner of Christianity. This is what the Lord says, stand at the crossroads and look. Ask which paths are the old what? How do you know they're reliable? They've proven themselves. Ask which paths are the old? Reliable paths. So what it's saying, not everything that glitters is gold. There's a whole lot of new paths that have come in for the last several 15, 20 years that concentrates on the fleshly side of man within Christianity. The carnal ways, the entertainment that we are experiencing like we've never seen before under the banner of Christianity. You may tell me, well, you are old-fashioned. No, I just like the old paths. Ask which leads, listen to this, guys. Ask which way leads to blessings and then live that way. How do I know it leads to blessings? It's proven itself. Live that way and find a resting place for what? For yourselves. Notice resting place means peace within. Not disturbed. Many of the paths are going to show you a certain way, but you said there's something wrong here. But you said that you wouldn't live that way. How stupid. So the word of God is not old-fashioned. That's what he's referring to. The reliable word passed down generation to generation. If you abide by that word, there are blessings. If you don't abide by that word, there's restlessness. So the word of God is not old-fashioned. It is still current today. And I believe that what you and I should do as we look back, say, I'm going to stay with the old book. I'm going to stay with the Bible. Because the Bible is so reliable, the Bible cannot lead you astray. But we are heading into a place now and position now and an era that the Bible explicitly states we are going to enter where people don't want to adhere to strong doctrine or good doctrine any longer. They want their ears to be tickled. We're seeing that more and more. Because with the ears being tickled, you can accumulate a lot of people. And accumulating a lot of people brings finances. I'm amazed. I don't know how many of you have ever looked into this, but I'm amazed because I have. At the amount of wealthy ministers out there, that the majority of the money is funded into their lifestyle of living a luxurious life. But they've drained the people. They've fleeced the sheep. Can I do anything? No, I can't do anything about it. It's not my responsibility. He's the great shepherd and he will take care of that. I've got to make sure I'm going to stick to the old path. And if you want to change, go ahead. I'm not changing. I want to stick to the old path. I'm not going to join any group that requires a fake emotional experience just because you get goosebumps. Just because the place is dark. We've got to all have that now because that creates the atmosphere. I'm not interested in atmosphere. I'm interested in the word changing people's lives. And I have experienced over my life, I don't need all this atmosphere but to preach the word of God, because it's the word of God that cuts asunder. It's the word of God that convicts, whether there are dark lights, no lights, bright lights. I'll never forget here. I almost got caught up into that where we wanted to put a lot of dim lights. And I said, no, 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 no. I'm a child of light. The brighter the better for me. Oh, well, you don't catch the atmosphere. Man, you don't know me. I'll create an atmosphere for you. The atmosphere of the word of God. That we listen and don't apologize for the word of God. I'm going to stick with God. I have access to all the fullness of God that there is. And every one of us, we don't have to run after every wimp of thing. We've got everything in us that God wants us to have. So I can say today, you can say today, I lack nothing. What do you lack? What do you lack? Nothing. Nothing. God has given us everything to live a godly life. Everything. So we must get away from the excuses. Also, the old doctrines. Oh, the big thing nowadays is to say there is no hell. Some of the evangelicals are turning against that in the reality of hell. Second Timothy 3:14. Got a few minutes left. Listen to this. However, continue, look at the phrase. Look at that sentence. Continue in what you have learned. The question then is, who have you learned from? Then the second question would be, that which you have learned from, is that individual's teachings reliable? And how do I know they are reliable? Because they've been passed down the ages. So, correctly, however, continue what you have learned and found to be true. Ah, is everything you've learned truth? No. No. What you have found to be true. How did you find it to be true? Testing and comparisons. So don't be gullible like many folks are. And then this is it. You know, by experience, not just head knowledge. You know by experience who your teachers were. In other words, there was an intimate relationship in the sense of spending time with them, learning from them and their teachings. The blood atonement. The Christian holiness. Holiness is going out the back door. The second coming of Christ, so controversial today. Baptism by immersion, so controversial. Oh my gosh. the attack once again, increasingly year by year, is to get rid of the stable. Get rid of baby Jesus. Virgin birth. The inspiration of... Do you know it's alarming to see people that have been old-fashioned diehards now coming out and saying, I'm really not sure if the entire Bible is inspired. You serious? You serious? Heaven and hell, big controversial things. Remember the Lord. Remember His mercy and His goodness. I'm going to give you two scriptures. We're going to wrap this up. The scripture that I'm presenting to you is something that Jesus said to His disciples. It's a question that validates or would validate their commitment to Him or not. He told His disciples also to remember His commands or commandments, which you and I've got to do as children of God in any case. In John 14, verse 15, He makes a statement, and this is it. If, let's read it together. If you love me, that is not a nice question. Is it possible that loving Him can increase or decrease? Think out loud. Can my love for Him grow stronger or can it also grow weaker? We as Christians are quick to say to Him, I love you. But when we analyze that commitment or that statement we have just made, oftentimes, I love you does not trickle down to my behavior. So here's the question. If I say I love Him, but I don't obey Him, what kind of love is this? It's a crush. I like that. It's just a crush. Think about this, guys. It impacts all of us. It impacts all of us. What does it then mean if you love me? I like that word. Is it just a crush? Or is it a love that is total commitment? I present every, I love you. The question would be, why would I love Him? Why? Why would I love Him? That's, in reality, a stupid question. Because it's obvious why I love Him. Because He's taken me out of darkness, out of death. And He's, but you see, for this to translate into my behavioral lifestyle, this is a challenging thing. If you love me with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. If you confess and profess that you love me, there is now a way to test it or a way to see it. How do I see if I love Him? Well, He gives us the answer. The disciples' obedience to Him will be the test of their love. If you love me, obey my commandments. So what are those commandments? Now we've got to try and decipher them. What are those commandments? Don't steal. Is that a commandment? Don't lie. Don't cheat. Is that a commandment? Don't fornicate. Don't live an adulterous life. Oh, but you don't understand God. No, no, God, do you know what I've seen over all my years? That people will put their value and their ideology above the commitment to loving God. So then, Jane, is it that it's only a crush? Because if you love me, you will obey me. Another one, of course, make disciples and baptize them. So we find these commandments, and folks, we've got to understand this. We're playing with eternity, but we've also got to understand. Kevin, go back to that scripture quickly for me, please. Just one back. If you love me, you will obey my commands. But God, I'm not perfect. Yes, I understand that. But I'm seeing no change. If you love me, there's got to be a change for the better. If you love me. Guys, let me tell you something from experiences in my life. If you and I say, I love him, there's certain things in my life that's got to be sacrificed. I can't continue with my will. I cannot continue with my flesh. I cannot continue with my way of thinking. If I say I love him, I've got to obey his commands. Because otherwise I'm playing the fool. I'm just playing the fool. And unfortunately, so many Christians are playing the fool. And not taking God's word serious. You know, it's like a child. Don't touch it, you're going to burn. What does a child do? Psh, I told you. Don't drink and drive. You just got your license. What do they do? And there's been fatalities. So we can go through the list this morning that I don't want to do, but you know the list. Everything that is contrary to the word of God is disobedience. Everything that appeals to the flesh is not the will of God. Because the Bible says we are spirit. So the flesh has got to die. The things of my carnal nature has got to die. So the disciples, you can go one forward, Kev, again. The disciples' obedience to him will be the test of their love. Okay, so how's my love tested? How's your love tested? How's your love tested towards him? How's my love tested? I love you. How do I test it? Obedience, submission, and come on, lifestyle. But you know what I found? That Christians know the word of God, but they are so accustomed to disobeying the word of God that the Holy Spirit can't even convict them anymore. Because they love what they're doing. That's contrary to the word of God. Sad thing is, there's going to be a price to pay. And this is my concern this morning. Starting within Christianity, looking at the lifestyle of people, disobeying the word of God, professing Christians. Here's my concern. Judges 2 verse 10. The Message translation. Eventually, the entire generation died. And what? It was buried. Then another generation grew up that didn't know anything of God. Pause for a moment. We are blessed to have the younger generation that knows the word of God in Crossway. Thank God for this younger generation, because they're going to carry the lamp. They're going to carry the light. They're going to carry the gospel. Eventually, that generation died, was buried. Another generation grew up that didn't know anything of God or the work he had done for Israel. How close are we to that? Very, very close to that. But I believe on the other hand, and I don't know which side of the aisle you stand, but I tell you what. The assassination of Charlie Kirk brought a different wave throughout the world. Not just America. I mentioned to you on Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, the younger generation, the Generation Z, the Alpha generation that's up now, but mostly the Z. There's an impact in their lives that 65% of the people attending services in the UK are Z generation. All of a sudden, the churches are getting the Z generation into the church. They all contribute that to Charlie Kirk. Now, do we put Charlie Kirk? There's another. What's he? Is he an Alpha generation? I don't know what generation he is. Maybe he's in between. I'm not sure. But here we find God had a plan and purpose. We don't know. But something was ignited. And I don't want to go into the political thing and people switch it to political. But there was a man that was brilliant in the name Charlie Kirk. Brilliant. That he could meet with kings of nations and debate. Very few know this. Some of the much older leadership was asking questions. But it's inevitable the love and the passion that he had for Jesus Christ. So is it something we can mirror? Is it something a younger generation like the Generation Z can mirror? Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Because he was outspoken, but yet was open for debate. But he was outspoken about Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And that's what we need in our country, because we've been so pressed for so long that you can't speak about Jesus in the workforce. You can't speak about Jesus in the school. You can't speak about Jesus anywhere. You can't even enjoy a nativity scene because people want to smash the nativity scenes. And what has happened? We all just, I don't want to get involved. I don't want to. No. I think the time has come. We've got to get involved. Stand your stand for Jesus Christ. The time of being muzzled, the time of shutting up about Jesus Christ is over. And I get offended when I go to the shops. Happy holidays. What holiday are you referring to? There would be no holiday if it wasn't for Jesus Christ. Oh, swans or whatever the other thing is, and all the other holidays. No. There is only one holiday, and that is the birth of Jesus Christ. So whenever we go, like yesterday again, happy holidays. I said, nope, Merry Christmas. Child of God, we don't want to see this. Another generation grew up, they didn't know anything of God. As for me and my house, we're going to proclaim Jesus Christ until he takes us. If we want to see change, it's up to the Christian to present the gospel. You see, folks, we want to try and change people from the outside. Stop this, stop that, stop this. No. Get right with Jesus. And then the external things start fading away. Get right with Jesus. It's up to us to keep on sharing the gospel and to proclaim the goodness of the God that we serve. Let's close. Think. Is God worthy of honor? Give it to him. Is God worthy of proclamation? Yeah. Do it. Is he worthy of admiration? Yeah. Let's do it. How about putting 25 behind us and say, God, as for me right now, I'm going to serve you with zeal and enthusiasm, and nobody's going to shut my passion up. I'm in love with you. Not only in love, I love him. You know, I'm always aware, and I mention it to the younger generation when they want to get married. They say, I've fallen in love with so-and-so. I say, be careful of that terminology. Because if you fall in love, you can fall out of love. Just love. And we're in a very privileged position today that your father and your mother is not choosing your wife or your boyfriend or girlfriend. In the Old Testament, hey man, shut up, I'm going to choose your wife for you. And he goes around and he finds a woman and says, hey my son, I found a wife for you, marry her. Yeah, sure, yeah. We've got freedom of choice. I'm asking you this morning to lay aside all bitterness, to lay aside all hypocrisy, to lay aside any fear, to have one thing in mind only. I want to do what you want me to do. Not what people would like me to do. I want to do what is right. Not in the sight of man. I want to do what is right in the sight of God. To do that, I've got to remember. I've got to remember where I've come from. To do that, I've got to be reminded of the validity of the Word of God. I can then look at the early apostles. I can look at the way they lived. I can look at the teachings in the Bible. I can look at the lifestyle of my Savior, Jesus Christ. And what a person to follow. His lifestyle. Am I close? No. There's no comparison. He's the perfect one. But come on. Let us remember what God has done. And move on. And serve the Lord with joy and enthusiasm. Can we pray together?